Please be seated. From today's gospel, Jesus says, "Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet." Now, this is one of those Sundays where we really need the good old King James version of this text. Let me read the same verse from the King James version. Jesus said, "Let your loins be girded about and your light burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for the Lord when he will return from the wedding." Gird your loins. Now that's religion. Like a soldier ready for battle. But the irony is that it literally means pull up your skirt and stick it in your belt so you don't trip over it. Kind of takes the romanticism out of it, doesn't it? So I guess that's why the translators of today's lesson felt like it was okay just to say be dressed for action, because it still gets the point across. Now, I would venture to guess that the vast majority of the time when we have heard this gospel text discussed, we've heard it in one of two contexts. The first one is stewardship. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And despite the fact that we really want it to say, where your heart is, there your treasure will be also, but that's not what Jesus said. But also for some of us, we have heard this text discussed, many of us have heard it discussed, in somewhat of an ominous way. It usually comes just prior to singing all six verses of "Just As I Am," used as a rousing indictment, questioning our readiness for Christ's return and his judgment. And in a way, I guess we've always heard it preached that way because, to an extent, that's what it's about. This entire section of Luke is about the kingdom of God and whether we're ready for it. It is about stewardship, but not just of our treasures, but stewardship of our time. It's about priorities and an understanding that we need not spend so much time sweating the unimportant, but focus more clearly on the kingdom among us even now. But if we leave it there, I'm afraid that we're missing a very important understanding of what this gospel really can mean for us. Because ultimately, I believe this text is about faith. And hope. And most importantly, it's about paying attention. There's a episode of the old Peanuts comic strip where they're having one of those regular baseball games that they have. And Lucy was found in her usual position out in right field when suddenly a batter hits a fly ball to her. She looks up to catch it, only to have it drop behind her with a thud. She picks up the ball and she goes over to the pitcher's mound to give it to Charlie Brown. And she says, "Sorry, I missed that one, manager. I was hoping to catch it, but I guess hope got in my eyes." Isn't that wonderful, though, if you think about it? Hope got in my eyes. You see, I think Lucy is guilty of what so many of us are guilty of. And that is confusing hope with wishful thinking. The gospel lesson you just heard was written for a community that believed Jesus' return was imminent. It was their hope. There were those who were concerned that Jesus hadn't come again. And Luke records Jesus' message to them, not to worry about it. Instead, just be watchful and be ready. The people who first heard this story were a lot like Lucy. Hope got in their eyes. It was a hope, or at least a wishful thinking, that Christ would return soon in their time frame. It was a hope that God would work within their parameters, that God would work within their understandings. Their energies and their watchfulness were solely aimed at Christ coming at the end of time. And the message to them was what was that they might well be missing Christ coming each and every day of their lives. And that's a good lesson for every one of us, because Christ does come to each of us this day and every day in often ordinary and sometimes extraordinary moments of our lives. And like the disciples of old, we are continually faced with choices when in the presence of Christ. Choices of priority and importance, of where our heart is, where our response to those questions makes all the difference in the world. These early followers of Jesus were just like you and me. They had a good idea of how things were supposed to work out. Yet, like so many of us, we so often confuse our hopes, or maybe our wishful thinking, with our faith. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, the author of Hebrews writes. Folks, our faith is not merely a collection of what we believe, nor is it a reflection of what we hope. It's not about trying to convince yourself that you're convinced of something. Faith does not preclude doubt. It does not preclude questioning. Instead, faith is about trust. It's about a trust and allegiance to promises made and to promises kept. Our faith grounds us in God, while our hope opens us to God's possibilities. It is faith that gives birth to our hopes. Wishful thinking is not going to do it. Because when hope sees the world as it is and comprehends the presence, promises, and activities of a loving God, is when you and I can dare to reach into the future, trusting that this same God of grace is already there preparing a future for each and every one of us. That's real faith. A faith that dares to believe God will do in the future what God has promised. No matter how dark the present might be, God will bring the sun of resurrection into our lives. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. People who call themselves Christians aren't perfect. Faith does not make us in control. Hope doesn't give us all the answers. And wishful thinking will never make us better than other people. Instead, our Christian faith is merely a delicate reflection of an understanding that God can be trusted. God can be trusted to give peace in the midst of the storm. God can be trusted to take what is evil and transform it into something good. God can be trusted to empower us in the midst of our troubles. And our faith is about letting go. Letting go and trusting that there is never a storm so tumultuous that he cannot bring us safely through. It's trusting that there's no night so dark that his light cannot penetrate it. Is that easy? Absolutely not. Does it make us immune from the pain of life? Far from it. Is it enough? Not always. But it's the only way I know of where hearts pounding with fear and hearts broken by life can ever dare to take a next step forward. And it is the only way in which I can ever imagine receiving Jesus' words at the opening of this text when he says, "Do not be afraid." Our gospel tells us Christ will come again. Be ready. Pay attention. Have faith. A faith that is beyond certainty, but rather a decision to keep your eyes open. I need to hear that. I need to hear that often. Because it is the assurance that while Christ will come again, he is coming even now, today, this very moment. His presence is made known through us, and so often through those who journey with us. It's a presence that can repair and rebuild and comfort and sustain and heal and mend and create and transform, all the while using such imperfect tools like you and like me. And what a shame it is to miss Christ coming simply because we're not paying attention. So be watchful. Be ready. Have faith. Keep those lamps lit and gird those loins if need be. For your response to that coming will make all the difference in our world. God love you. Amen.